I am so thankful that you're here this morning. I'm so thankful that we get a chance to worship together. And over this last week, I've had several occasions just to really ponder some of the blessings that God has given to me. And I'm so thankful. Once again, like last week, my parents are still in town. They're going to be traveling home tomorrow. And we've just had a wonderful time with them. My two oldest are back at school now. And just so blessed to be able to share this time with family. I'm so thankful for my South Fork family. Many of you sent us cards and texts and emails over this last week, and just we feel so encouraged and blessed. I just kind of have to pinch myself as we think about all the things that have gone on since we've gotten here. And every once in a while, I'm wondering, are they ever going to think that we're just the bad luck that has come along, that it's kept us out of there, brought COVID or something? But it has just been really a blessing to walk through some of these challenges and the encouragement and blessing that this congregation has been to us through these moments. And I'm thankful. I truly prayed many times this last week, just a prayer of thanksgiving for each and every one of you in the way that you have been a part of my life, the way that you've been a blessing to me and my family. And then I've seen the way that you've been a blessing to our community. I know this morning we don't have KFC, so there is a special little handout for our kids out in the foyer, and I want to explain something to you. If you have a kid working through this little the sheet, we're asking them to fill in a scripture that we're going to be looking at in just a moment. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, we're going to be there in just a moment. The kids are going to fill that out. Then they're going to find those words in the word search. Cross out those words in the word search. And then the leftover letters, the letters that weren't used as part of the words to be found, they're going to make a special little phrase. And if you'll bring me that phrase, I've got a special treat for you after services. Don't come during the sermon, okay? After services. For the parents, there is an opportunity to follow along with a couple notes inside your bulletin. And if you would open up there, we're going to be looking at a couple things this morning. But we're talking about Jesus at our table and the blessing that it is to be in fellowship with Christ, to be with Christ's family. Last week we were talking about the invitation, and I want to go one step further this week and ask us to invite some people that maybe we don't normally think of. I know we have that phrase, have you heard this one? Stranger, what is it? Stranger danger. I think we should teach our kids the potential of random people that might be and what might happen if they go off and talk to some guy, some stranger at a park. But adults, maybe we have carried this a little bit too far. And the difficulty that we now have in our lives of bridging out and making connections has sometimes been hampered by our philosophy of this, that I don't know them, so I'm not going to go talk to them, and so we live in our small little bubble. Let me just share with you a couple of things from Scripture. This is God's Word as people are interacting in this world. Some things that challenge our stranger danger. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham, he is welcoming in three. They end up being angels, but he doesn't know that at the time. He brings them into his home and feeds them. Think about that. Three strangers he invites in and he brings them a meal. There's a lady in 1 Kings chapter 17, Zarephath. She is continually giving of her last resources to a prophet. I mean, she is at the end of the month when the money was already gone, and now she is giving and serving. God continues to bless her, and so her resources are miraculously supplied. Just those two examples should challenge us to think about how we live our lives. God brought these three angels into Abraham's life. God brings this miraculous supply into this lady's life. How many of us have neglected to bring care and comfort to someone because we didn't know who they were? All right? How many of us have neglected to give an offering of help or blessing because we were already at the bottom of our barrel? I wonder if we sometimes misunderstand who our God is. Our God sometimes is just as big as our bank account. God is just as big as my social calendar that I want to have. My God is just as big as, and we limit it to our perspective. See if you can say amen to this. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is active. Our God wants to challenge us. We're going to see the opportunities that abound before us, even around our own dinner table, our home setting, the place that it should be our comfort and security, our refuge. God is giving us an opportunity to make an impact into this world. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, if you would give water, if you would give drink, if you would give assistance, if you would welcome in a stranger, then you have done this to me, he says. Look around this room. There's several people that you may not know, some friends or relatives or some guests that are coming to visit. We've put out some extra chairs, and what a blessing that is. But if we would just recognize, perhaps one of God's angels has come to visit us today. Wouldn't you want to shake his or her hand? Wouldn't you want them to come to your house for just a moment? But sometimes we don't see a God who is active and alive. In Luke chapter 14, I want you to read with me. Luke chapter 14, I'm going to let y'all control these verses for me. It says, starting in verse 16, Jesus is telling this story. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. And then through 18 through 20, Jesus is going to give a couple examples of people who were invited. And one says, I bought a field. I got some new property. I got to go take care of it. Jesus is going to say that one says, I bought some animals, some oxen, and I need to go take care of them. Another one is saying, I just got married and I'm unable to come. These situations of life, they are refusing the offer. But the story continues on in verse 21. The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the valleys and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come so that my house may be full. The master sends out this invitation to all those that should come to this great banquet. And one by one, they have their individual reasons why they can't come. Why they are not going to attend this great banquet. And the master still is not satisfied with those responses. And he sends a servant out to go and get all those who are lame, who are blind, who are broken is the word that we should use. If I translate all of those words just to broken, let me just see. Nod your head, raise your hand. How many of us know someone in our life who is broken? Not necessarily just physically, but emotionally or relationally or financially. How many of us know somebody who is in a situation like that? Truth is, all of us probably. I see the heads nodding, the hands are going up. The master says, go out and invite them in to this great banquet. Last week, we talked about that we would be willing to take the opportunity to pray for people in our lives. That we would specifically ask God to help us have engagements or connections with people. We're going to be specific about making a list. And if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do that today. Let's not let this year finish without a long list of people that we are specifically praying for. God, please open doors. Let us have a relationship and a connection. Let me draw my three circles like we talked about last week, and let me share with them what I know to be good news. There are a couple of people that I want to encourage you to look out for in your invitation. People who are going through a crisis of life or a crisis of belief. Crisis of life, that is those that are engaged in something that is just not going right. They just got a call from the doctor and the word is something is pretty significant. Their world just hit a big wave. A big wave just hit their world. Maybe it's somebody who's going through a crisis of their life in the financial realm in which their business just got a report. The bank just pulled their loan. Employer just revoked your employment. I mean, something drastic is happening. And in everyday life, we know friends and family who are going through a crisis of life. Maybe it continues on and it's the relationship of husband to wife and a marriage that is ripping apart. Their life is in crisis. When they go home, the moments of peace are now turmoil. It is a father to a son, a mother to a daughter, or parent to child. It is that angst that happens. It is one who is taking care of a parent who is ailing and passing away soon. It is the struggle of life. Those that are in those situations, I wonder if we would be aware and bring care into their world. A crisis of belief is one who they've come to a bit of information. They've seen something beyond what really is just the norm, the rat race. And they are engaging in this thought process of, is this really all that there is for life? Is this really all that I am supposed to be? Should I be striving for? Should I be going after these things? And it might be a question that is specifically leading towards God. Or it might be a crisis of faith and belief in which I've just lost a loved one. I've just gone through a crisis of life, and now I'm struggling. Is God really alive? Is God really there for me? Does He really care about me? And we know friends and family who are going through one of these moments of life. And these are the broken. These are the struggling people that I think this banquet is designed for. If I said the name Bill Gates, you know who I'm talking about? If I said I was going to have dinner with Bill Gates tonight, would you be impressed? What if I said he was buying? And I could pick anywhere that I wanted to go. If I had just won some sort of prize, I get to go have dinner with Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or maybe all three of them, and I get to bring a couple of friends. Imagine this conversation for just a moment. Hey, Tommy. Yeah, I just won this dinner with Bill Gates and Bezos and Musk, and we get to go. I get to pick wherever we're going to go. Would you come with me? No, yeah, it's tonight. I don't know. I mean, I think of Ruth Chris, but what's better than that? No, we're not going to go to Chick-fil-A. I'm going to take them somewhere. They're going to take me somewhere nice. Yeah. No, tonight. What do you mean? I know you just started up a company. You're having trouble with your employees. Okay. That's stressful. Yeah, I get it. But these guys probably... No. These guys probably could help you. Yeah, don't you think that they... Okay. If you don't want to come, don't come. What if I picked up the phone and now I'm talking to Janie and she's got computer problems? Wouldn't it be best to go out and have dinner with Bill Gates, the guy who created all of our computer problems? Can you imagine having the opportunity to sit down in that setting and someone calls you and says, come have dinner, and you're like, you know what? We've got laundry. I really was going to watch Wheel of Fortune tonight. But we do have friends. Maybe in times we have been like that. And we have neglected the gift and the grace of God. But the master sends out the servant and he says, go out into the streets, into the far places, into the alleys, and I want you to find those that are broken. And right now, all of us, the stranger danger is in our mind. If I bring those into my home, if I look across the room and oh my goodness, I wouldn't invite the Huddleston parents over for lunch. That would be crazy. That would be weird. What would they talk about? How would that go? Or somebody else who's visiting or coming through our church network. Would we dare to sit down and share just a moment to bring life into their world? In your bulletins, I've shared this little outline. It's called the Engel Scale, and it's been really helpful for me. It shows kind of this progression of thought or action about how people come to process through their faith. And this whole thing starts at the very top with a negative number, and it works its way down to this crisis of belief or an action point, which we will call baptism. And then they continue on in their faith, and they're growing in their relationship with God. I want to focus at the top level for just a moment. Those people who are not baptized believers, those people who are not in a relationship with Christ, that come into our world, how do we engage with them? Last week we talked about being able to ask some questions, to peer into their world. Today I want to dive a little bit deeper and help you to see that there's a path, there's an opportunity for us to speak about the next level for somebody. There are many of our friends and family who would be professing, who would be stating, who would be truthful in saying there is no God, at least in their mind or their understanding. As they look at world, as they've lived their life, they have never felt, they have never seen, they maybe have never even heard the name of a singular God Almighty, Creator, like you and I now know. Well, the first step for them is not an action of faith that they're going to repent and be baptized. The first step is for them to be able to see that there is something of purpose and value around our world. To be able to see that there is a Creator, that there is one who is supremely powerful. As we dealt with those in Japan, a culture of many different gods. In fact, as your ancestors and your grandfather and grandmother pass away, they now become these deities of influence in your life. And so a Japanese person has this very pluralistic lifestyle or mindset about God or gods. Kara was in a Bible study one time and she was walking through the first part of Genesis, the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And she walks through all 6 days. And she gets to the end and she says, how many gods were in this story? Now, you and I know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there was light, she saw. And there were rivers and seas. There were mountains and trees. And she had so many different gods that she couldn't count them all in the story of Genesis. When you're dealing with somebody who has no understanding, maybe it's good to start with a simple understanding of the nature of God. Paul does the same thing. He says, I see that you have this idol to the unknown God. Well, let me tell you about him. And the first thing is to lead them to an awareness of a supernatural. I'm going to paint this picture for you to give you some steps in your conversation so that you're leading someone in the right way. As a teacher would guide a student throughout the course of a year so that they are proficient in their subject, not giving them everything at the very beginning, not overwhelming them with steps that are too big, but walking them through. There's an understanding about the gospel that this God is a God of interaction. This is not a God who just builds everything and then steps back and watches it burn to the ground. This is a God who cares and watches and is daily involved. This is a God who's so involved, he sent his one and his only Son. And this Son so cares about you and I that he speaks, that he involves himself, that he puts himself in a place where those broken people are. And truthfully, we find ourselves right there in that story. This is a story of that God who comes to this world, who involves himself with these broken people, who then calls them to join in his mission and ministry, so that we now are ambassadors, so that we now are a part of his work and ministry. We become lights in this dark world. And he brings us to a place where the offering is made. And then we present the wonderful message of the transforming power of God's Spirit and purpose of baptism that not only washes us from our sins, but infuses us and connects us with God's own Spirit. And this is a beautiful transformation of life. And maybe those conversations don't happen in one meal or in one day. Maybe they do if you are a prisoner like Paul or Silas and you're in jail and you're singing about the greatness of God. A great earthquake comes and you're the jailer and you're about to take your life and you are in this moment of crisis and you are quickly explaining what or heard what the explanation is about who God is and you give your life. In fact, you're so enthralled, you invite your whole family even in the middle of the night to come hear this wonderful news and they are baptized. But maybe it's a transformation like the Ethiopian eunuch who is studying and trying to figure out what this new world looks like as he's reading this Old Testament philosophy or promise of the Messiah to come, and someone brings him to a place. Now, after knowing about the supernatural, now after knowing about this interaction, now after seeing the purpose and now the invitation, this man wants to participate in this walk. Last week we drew those three circles. That's just a quick way to figure out who we're talking to and where they are in this process. But today I want us to see these steps that will lead and guide our conversation as we take time to share the good news with those that are around us. This morning, as we think about the opportunity that is before us, to invite others to our table, I first want to challenge you to open up your homes and your life, to clear your schedule a little bit so that you are interacting on purpose for God. We are going through the holiday season. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it would stun us all, probably. Within this room of many faithful believers, of people who have hope beyond this life, within this room, how many of us would truly be longing and desire someone just to call us up and invite us over for coffee, cake, meet us for lunch, just connect with us. Just care about us. If we who are so loved by God are in need of that type of relationship, imagine our friends and our family who do not have the love of Christ in their life, who do not have the blessing of believers in their life. Imagine the difficulty. And isn't that when the servant goes out? Not as judgmental. You broken people, come on in. It is in spite of their brokenness. It is because of their brokenness. We have no place to go. It is cold outside. You could invite me anywhere and I would go with you if I could just get out of the cold. I'm so hungry right now. I don't care what we're having. Just bring me in and give me something to eat. I'm so lonely right now. If you would just be my friend, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. If you would just love me. And the world is screaming and crying and hiding back because they don't know where to go or who to turn to. But Christ says, so that my house will be full. And so unfortunate in so many churches, those people who were lost and hungry and broken and destroyed, God brings them in and He redeems them. And they never turn around and share that with another soul again. Did you hear that? There are so many who have heard the message, who have gone through this list of transformation where we didn't understand who God was, we didn't know what the gospel message was, we didn't know how we were supposed to respond, we didn't know what life looked like as we're supposed to be following Christ, but now here we are as transformed individuals, now here we are as redeemed, now here we are with joy and hope of our new life, and we sit quietly, we sit comfortably, we sit alone at the Master's table. And we know so many who would love to even have just today's fellowship. Just one glimpse of the interaction, the love that we saw as we came through the door. As we're about to experience as we go in our separate ways. As you'll watch groups peel off and go to different restaurants or into different homes and experience the day together. I want to challenge you to find the faith in those that is whose lives are broken, to open up the invitation and call these people into your life. The best place for people to see the difference that Christ has made in your life often starts at your own table, at their table, or a common table. It starts with an invitation of us reaching those who we may want to discount because of some outward perceivable issue. But quite honestly, that makes them the greatest opportunity to hear the wonderful message of Christ. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't hear this as the usual. But if this message hasn't sat well with you, would you please pull one of our elders aside and just say that? I feel uncomfortable with this. Would you pray for me? I know our elders would love that opportunity to shepherd and partner with you. The truth is, all of us at some point in our lives feel uncomfortable about stepping out, and we need the encouragement and the help of one another. Pull them aside. Share with them this real truth of your life and your thought. Let them shepherd you and guide you and counsel you. If you haven't received the message of Christ, if you want to participate in His family, if you want to be a part of His call, our baptistry is open. We would love to celebrate with you at this moment in this new life. If you would like to study about what it really means to walk through some of those steps that we were just having on our screen. If you want to understand how you can live a life more fully after that decision point, we've got the opportunity. There is no greater time than now. Let's not end this year with the regret of a missed relationship with one another and with Christ. Let's stand together. Let's sing this song and encourage one another to be a light in this world.
Lord, take my